folks. My name is Tony Miano. I'm here with my daughter Michelle and my friend Peter. We're all from Faith Community Church up in the Santa Clarita Valley. We're here with the knowledge and the prayerful support of our pastor and the leaders in our church. Many are likely praying for us and are praying for you today as well. The reason we're down here today is because we've come to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. There is no better news than that. And what I'm going to be doing today is something that literally hundreds of people around the world are doing today. And it's part of what's called Project Ezra. And it's where people around the world simply go out to the public square, open up the Bible, and read it aloud. Now, fortunately, we still live in a country where we can do that without the fear of oppression or arrest or imprisonment. But that's not the case in many places around the world. North Korea, China, India, parts of Africa, Colombia. There are literally men, women, and children who are sacrificing their lives somewhere around the world today to do what may seem silly to you, but we have the freedom to do here in the United States, and that's open our mouths and speak about what we believe. I certainly welcome any discourse from you. I'm not looking to argue anybody into heaven. I can't do that. But if you've got intelligent and honest questions that you'd like to ask, we'd love to answer them for you. We don't have all the answers. We don't know everything. Anyone who claims to do is arrogant and foolish and lying to themselves. I'm going to begin by reading today out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And the Word of God tells us this: therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to His will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell you of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subjected to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The Word of God. Now, it should be quite clear to all of us, we don't need to be Bible scholars to understand this. That entire chapter was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, it's important before I continue that I make sure you understand which Jesus Christ I represent. There are actually many different beliefs about who Jesus is. Some wrongly believe that he is the spirit brother of Satan. That's what the Mormons believe. They are wrong. Some believe that he is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and they too are wrong. Some merely look at him as a rabbi or a good teacher. Many different religions look at him that way. They're wrong. The religion of Islam believes that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet, and that he was second to the prophet Muhammad. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's not true. Jesus Christ is not subservient to anyone. And the only true Jesus is the one that is testified to in the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He was with the Father at creation. He is the firstborn among many brethren, meaning that he has the first place in preeminence. He is not and was not a created being, as many secularists and religious people would like you to believe. No, he is eternal. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Lamb of God. And he is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ is God, my friends. Make no mistake. He was fully God and fully man. He is fully God and is fully man. He is eternally existent. He lived among us. And he lives today. And that's what differentiates Jesus Christ from every other false god and every other man-made religion. The follower of Jesus Christ worships a living God, but every other religion worships either a dead God or a God created in their own imagination to appease their own sin, because they do not desire the things of God nor to be with God. They, in actuality, although they may not admit it or realize it, want to be God. But there is only one God. And he has revealed himself to us in his creation. We can look at the beauty of creation around us, see the intricacy of his design, and know that there is, in fact, a creator. And there is only one. And we also know that that truth is written on our heart. He has given us a conscience, each and every one of us. We know that God exists. We know that God is one. Whether or not we want to believe it, whether or not we will acknowledge that with our mouth, God has already written that reality in our hearts. But sadly, most people in the world want to suppress that truth because of their unrighteousness, because of their love for sin. They do not want to submit to God. They want to be God. But that is a foolish way to live our lives. Because no matter how much we want to deny God, no matter how much we want to take his place and usurp his authority and sit on his throne, we never will. The Bible says that it is appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. You will not be able to plead a case on that day. That is not a day of a court trial. That is a day of sentencing, my friend. And you will stand there alone, no one will be with you. And you will stand there naked, clothed only in your sinfulness, and you will be judged. Now that's not because I say so. Nothing is true because I say so. But it is true because the Word of God says so. And in chapter 2, in verse 3 it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" And that is the question I have for you this morning, my friends. How will you escape the righteous, holy justice of God if you neglect the salvation he provides? Now, many people would answer that question by saying, "I'm going to escape God's judgment because I consider myself to be a good person. I consider myself worthy of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. There are a lot of people a lot worse out there in the world than me. God should weigh the good things I've done against the bad, and he should see that my good outweighs the bad, and so he should let me into heaven on the basis of my goodness. Maybe you believe that. I can assure you that many people in the world today operate, live their lives under that presupposition. But sadly, it is a false presupposition. The Bible says that man will, after all, declare his own goodness. And if I were to ask you for your definition of good, the likelihood is you would look into a mirror and describe the first person you see. You would base your definition of goodness on how you see yourself in the mirror. You would base your definition of goodness by deciding that there are a lot of people who do a lot worse than you do. You will not say that you're perfect. In fact, you would agree with me that nobody is perfect. Nobody is, except for Jesus Christ. But yet you would still hold on to the thought, and quite frankly, the fantasy, that you are good in God's eyes. Well, the definition of goodness, my friends, is moral perfection. Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, granted, my friends, I don't stand here as one claiming to have attained that. I never will this side of heaven. I'm a sinful human being. I make mistakes. I sin against God every day of my life, if not in action, in word or in thought. But yet Jesus' standard is perfection. Now, granted, none of us can live up to that standard, but Jesus does not lower his standards simply because we cannot live up to them. His standard is perfection. Now, the only way you're going to get to God on your own, the only way you're going to manage to get to heaven on your own, if you're going to rely on your own goodness, is if you live a perfect life in thought, word, and deed from cradle to grave. A perfect life in thought, word, and deed from cradle to grave. So who among you can say that you have never sinned against God? None of us. In fact, the Bible makes that point. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And again, the Word of God says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, because I care about you, that there is no escape if you neglect such a great salvation. The question that's being asked in that verse is a rhetorical question. The answer is already known. The answer is already assumed. And my friends, if you're honest with yourself, you too know the answer to that question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We will not escape. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And God is good. And as such, God will and God must punish sin. I don't tell you that because I hope that happens to you. I don't tell you that because I want that to happen to you. I tell you that because I care about you and because it is true. It is appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. My friends, we are all part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. It's reality. We are all going to die someday. It's not a scare tactic. It's simply a reality of the world we live in. Some of you may be dying today and know it. Some of you may be dying today and not know it. But we are all going to die. Most of you are my age, at least, or thereabouts. You're adults. Most of you are adults. You remember how you lived when you were 14, 15, 16 years old? Nothing scared you. Nothing frightened you. Nothing worried you. You thought you were invincible. You had no concern for death. It was the furthest thing from your mind. But yet 160,000 people die every day in this world. and many of them are very young. And I can assure you of this, my friends, there are people in hell today who are much nicer than me and much nicer than the rest of us. Because nobody goes to heaven for being a nice guy or a nice girl. My friends, if you neglect so great a salvation that I am going to share with you and offer to you today, there is no escape from the just punishment and wrath of God. Because He is good, He will punish sin. And the punishment God has required for sin is eternity in hell. My friends, it doesn't matter whether you believe it, and it certainly doesn't matter whether you like it. If any of you, like me, have stood in a courtroom and the judge asks you, what do you have to say for yourself if he has found you guilty of breaking the law? How foolish would it be for you to say this? Your Honor, first of all, I don't believe you're the judge. I don't believe the jury found me guilty. I don't believe I broke the law. I believe I'm innocent, and I believe I'm free to go. And you start to make your way to the courtroom door. How close do you get, my friends, before the bailiff tackles you and carts you off to jail? Utterly irrelevant what you believed about the judge or the law. What mattered was what the judge believed about you. And likewise, it's utterly irrelevant what you believe about the judge of the universe and the reality of hell. What matters is what the judge of the universe believes about you. My friends, there are buses going up and down Lancashire all day long. Stand out in the middle of Lancashire, fold your arms, close your eyes, and say, I don't believe in buses. Eventually, reality and truth is going to catch up with your unbelief. And in the end, it will matter not what you believe about buses. God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And God will punish our sins. And that punishment is eternity in hell. If we neglect so great a salvation. The Word of God says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him, Jesus, for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you believe it or not, you at this present moment are under the subjection of Jesus Christ the Lord. You are in subjection under his feet. You may live that way kicking and screaming, or you may live that way in submission to his authority, but either way, you are under his authority. God is sovereign over everything in this world. You are not autonomous. You are not going to make the ultimate last decision for yourself. You are not going to tell God what to do. You're not going to tell God where to go. Because God is holy. And God is sovereign. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And everything, including everyone, is in subjection under his feet. So my friends, how then can you avoid neglecting so great a salvation? It is through faith in Jesus Christ. My friends, 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sins. Unlike you, most certainly unlike me, he never once violated the law of God. He was and he is the sinless Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world. He is holy, and he is God, while at the same time being man. He lived a perfect sinless life that none of us could ever hope to live. And after about 30 to 33 years of that earthly existence, he voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and he died a horrific bloody death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. No, young man, to say that nobody cares would mean that you have perfect knowledge. And you don't have perfect knowledge, young man. There are a lot of people who care. The fact that you do not care, and in ignorance you would deny the things you're hearing, doesn't mean that the rest of the people here are being as ignorant and foolish as you. The Word of God says, now, in putting everything in subjection to Him, He left nothing outside His control. And at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to Him. Again, my friends, nothing is outside of His control. When Jesus went and died on the cross, my friends, many people believe that it was the Jews that caused the Romans to kill Him. Many people believe that it was the Romans who ultimately had the authority over Jesus to kill Him. But both the Romans and the Jews were merely instruments in the hands of another. And that was in fact Jesus Christ. Jesus told the authorities at that time, before His death, that He lays down His life of His own accord, and He will also raise it back up again. No one had authority over Jesus, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God in the flesh. He voluntarily took that punishment on the cross. And then 3 days later, through the power that only God has, He rose from the dead and He forever defeated sin and death. And He is alive today. Unlike Muhammad and Buddha and the millions of false gods of Hinduism and the gods that people like Oprah craft in their mind, Jesus Christ is alive. All those other gods are dead and figments of the imagination of foolish and sinful people. Because again, there is only one God. And when He rose from the dead, He forever defeated the power of sin and death. And He claimed victory over sin and death. And He now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven in power. And my friends, He will one day return. And when He returns, He will not return as a meek and mild and lowly and humble lamb in a dirty feeding trough in a stinking stable. No, my friends, He will not return as He came. Jesus said when He came the first time that He did not come to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. But my friends, when He returns, He will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. And the blood of His enemies will drench the hem of His robe. He will not come meek and mild. He will come with fury and fire and wrath. And where will you be on that day? If you neglect so great a salvation as Jesus made available to those who repent and believe, it is His judgment you will face. But my friends, if you turn from your sin and by faith and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will save you. He will forgive your sin. He will grant you the gift of everlasting life. It is promised, and all of God's promises are yes and amen. But that is the only way you can be saved. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. You will not get to God, you will not get to heaven by simply being religious. Going to church on Sunday and living like hell Monday through Saturday makes you not right with God, but a hypocrite. Going to church on Sunday, my friends, makes you no more right with God than going up Lancashire to In-N-Out makes you a double-double. My friends, you will never do enough good things to earn your way into heaven, because salvation is a free gift. The Word of God says that the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word of God says that by grace we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that none of us can boast, so that none of us can brag about it. The Word of God says that since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things. Jesus Christ, out of love for His creation, literally humbled Himself to the point of taking on sinful flesh, although He knew no sin, he was sinless, he took on the form of human flesh. And he humbled himself to the point of dying, yes, even dying on the cross. And he did that to destroy the one who has power over death, and that is Satan. Through his death and through his resurrection on the cross, he forever defeated Satan. Forever defeated him. And then it says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers, like you and me, in that he took on human flesh, although he was sinless. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What Jesus did by dying on the cross, shedding his innocent blood for wretched sinners like you and me, is he positioned himself to be the merciful and faithful high priest for those who believe. And what is mercy? Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. What we deserve is the punishment of hell for our sins. But if God extends mercy to us, we will not receive what we deserve. Instead, we will receive grace. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. Grace is receiving what you do not deserve. I can't hear you. He says, God loved us to expand the universe, right? I'm sorry? God left us to expand the universe? God blessed us to expand the universe. Is that what you said? What do you mean by that?
He left us.
No, God hasn't left anybody. No, you're believing a lie, young man. Yeah, sir, if my feeling was that it was good to steal your bike, would my feeling be right? No, it wouldn't. What a foolish young man. What a foolish young man. No, I'm not following my path, young man. Karma is a lie. Karma is a lie from the pit of hell. What this young man is exhibiting is a violation of the second commandment. The second commandment says, you will not make for yourself any idols. Now, granted, I doubt this young man has cut down a tree or hewn a rock or forged metal into an idol to bow down and worship it. Then you're a fool. But what he's actually done is he's committed idolatry of the mind. He's created a god in his own imagination to suit himself. A god that cannot save, a god that cannot destroy. He is foolishly validating what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. And my friends, my prayer for you is that you would not harden your hearts today. That you would not be foolish like this young man and believe a God of your own creation. That you would recognize... I'm sorry? No. I have no respect for false gods. I have no respect for any person who would set themselves up to be God. Oh, absolutely I am. No, he did not. Jesus didn't. Jesus. I can't hear you. I'm intolerant? Ma'am, why are you judging me? Oh, wait, hang on. You're calling me intolerant as you come out and be up and be intolerant. Explain that to me.
You called him a fool because he...
Yes. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14.
You're insulting him just because he doesn't believe the same thing as
you? My question is, why are you here? For God?
Yes.
For you?
No, I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Why are you arguing and judging others?
Thank you, sir.
I'm not judging anybody. Only God judges.
All I've done for 3 weekends is listen to you.
Really? I'm glad you keep coming back. When are you going to repent and believe the gospel? When are you going to repent?
I believe in the gospel. I'm
really?
A very strong Christian.
Well, you know what? If you were a strong Christian, sir...
What are you doing?
If you were a strong Christian, sir, you wouldn't be interrupting the proclamation of the gospel. If you were a strong Christian, sir, you would be preaching the gospel.
You are here for your own ego.
How do you know that? Why are you judging me?
Because look at you!
Did you see what Jesus did? He proclaimed the gospel in the open air.
Are you claiming yourself to be Jesus?
Absolutely not. There's only one.
Well, then step down and
No, I won't,
out.
Sir. Why don't you stand up and stand for the faith you have?
I do.
How do you do that, sir? What's going to happen to these people if they die in their sins? What's going to happen to them, sir? You're a Christian.
Okay, and you're
a strong Christian. Sir, answer the question, please. What is going to happen to these people if they do not turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ?
Okay,
you're a Christian.
How many people are here asking you questions?
Sir?
And how many people are you analyzing?
Sir, why won't you answer the question?
No, why are you
You claim to be a Christian. You claim that, then what is going to happen to those who do not turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ? Be a Christian, be a Christ follower, and speak the truth to these people in love. What's going to happen to them if they die in their sin? What's going to happen, sir?
They're not going to make it to heaven.
They're not going to, where are they going to go?
That's...
Where are they going to go, sir? If you're a Christian, and you, who says? They say... My my friend, you need to repent and believe the gospel. You need to repent. You never said hell?
No.
Sir, you do not. When was the last time you read the Bible? Matthew 25. My friends, Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. But unfortunately, there are what are commonly called false converts in the Church of God, my friends. There are people who believe they know Christ, but yet they deny him by their words. They claim to know Christ, but yet they create for themselves teachings that Jesus supposedly made that he never made, my friends. You need to repent and believe the gospel, sir. You do.
I'll work on that.
What's that?
I'll work on that.
Well, work won't help you, sir. Work will not help you, sir.
If I was perfect, I don't believe I'd be here.
None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, sir. What's that? You're not perfect. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Hello? I am thinking, sir. The unthinking response is to say we're all perfect. And then admit to telling lies. Okay, sir, young man, you need to repent and put your trust in Christ. He alone can save you. And what is fascinating, my friends, is that the folks who say that preaching the gospel is intolerant will rush up to judge someone and call them intolerant. It's fascinating. I'm sorry? Have I judged you? Who have I judged? Who have I judged?
I'm telling you,
the difference.
That's right. Every religion created by man is false. It is true. It is true. It is true.
You see?
No, it wasn't. Mohammedism is a lie, my friends. Buddhism is a lie. Wouldn't you agree as a Christian, sir, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him? Wouldn't you agree with that as a Christian?
Yes.
So no one comes to the Father. My friend here, who claims to be a Christian...
People preach. People come to them.
That's not true.
And people, listen, when people talk to you, they talk to you from a flipping distance. Because they're afraid of you.
What was wrong? That other religions aren't true?
No, you missed the Bible. You don't tell people they're innocent. You just need to read the Bible.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
I'm telling you, you were cool when you were reading the Bible.
Oh, but when I started preaching the gospel, that wasn't cool.
You started putting everybody else down. You were wrong. You should be at home repenting right now.
Why would you do that? So what? Okay, and what does that represent to you? No. What does the cross?
Lord, I'm spiritual. I'm not.
You're spiritual.
I'm not really.
So what's going to happen to you when you die?
It doesn't
matter to me. It should matter to you. It should matter to me. I care about you as a human being.
Really?
Yes, that's why I asked the question.
Are you saved?
Yes, I am.
So why aren't you somewhere being saved? Like, hello, just be saved.
You don't think it's loving to proclaim the gospel to people?
Nice of you, but then...
Okay, you too have created a religion to suit yourself.
Exactly. So leave it alone.
But it's false. It's going to kill you.
I read the Bible.
It's going to kill you.
I read the Bible already.
How many books are in the Bible?
I read all.
How many books are in the Bible?
I read the Old Testament. I didn't memorize it like.
Who wrote the Pentateuch in the Old Testament? Ma'am, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible, ma'am.
I said I read it. I've already heard it.
What's the story of the Bible? What's the story?
Listen to what I'm saying.
What's the story of the Bible?
I've read it.
And?
No, listen. This is what I'm saying. I have read the Bible.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
You took it how you want to take it.
No. There's only one truth, ma'am.
Okay.
Look, if I say this young man on the bike was a young woman on the bike, it wouldn't be true.
If he wants to be a woman, he will be.
He's not.
But he's not. If he wants to be, he will be.
What's going to happen to you when you die?
I don't know.
Well, you can know, and you should know.
Okay.
No, it's not okay. See, unfortunately, this young woman is okay with not knowing. She's okay with living in the ignorance of her sin. It's not okay.
It's okay.
You don't care about people.
It's okay.
You don't care.
It's okay. They don't care about you.
That cross means nothing to you.
Okay. But look, it has one arm.
And why did you do that?
Exactly.
Why?
You never will know. Find it in the Bible.
Find it in the Bible?
Find it in the Bible.
Why you exactly. Took the cross apart?
Exactly. Is there a cross in the Bible?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It has rosaries in the Bible.
No.
Exactly. You don't know anything.
The rosary's not in the Bible. The rosary is a creation. No, I'm not going to stop. See, false Christians do not want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spiritual people like this don't want you to hear the gospel because ultimately they are haters of God. They have created a religion to suit themselves. They have created a God to their own liking. A God that they're comfortable with. Basically, the God of this young woman, the God of this young man, is nothing more than a genie in a bottle. They put him up on a shelf until they want something from him, and then they pull down the bottle, rub the bottle, and their false God comes out to grant their wish. And if the false God they believe in doesn't do what they say, they simply put him back in the bottle and put him up on the shelf. Their hearts are hard towards God. And they validate what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that they have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. The Word of God says that they decide to worship the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And my friends, you need to understand, these kind of distractions happen all the time when the gospel is preached. Because oftentimes it gets too close to a person's conscience. This woman here thinks that she's right with the God she's created. And she probably is. But her God doesn't exist. I'm sorry?
Did Jesus tell you to judge me again?
Jesus said judge with right judgments.
I thought
yes.
Only God can judge me. I thought that was...
You judge all the time, ma'am.
Well, yeah,
you judge
now.
All the time.
You're doing it now, so you're
yes.
Doing better than me. Are you going to
yes.
Come and repent?
I'm not sinfully judging.
You feel like you are.
Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is what's true.
You're trying to be God.
It doesn't matter what you believe, ma'am.
You're on the
what matters is what... Come closer, ma'am. I can't hear you.
He's trying to be God.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Oh, leave her alone. It's okay, ma'am. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right, ma'am. Okay. Because the Word of God testifies to the truth. God did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Ma'am, have you ever written a letter? Have you ever... Don't laugh. Don't mock. Answer the question. No, I'm not, ma'am. No, don't tell her to shut up. That's rude. How judgmental of you. How judgmental of you. My friends, this woman here, again, trying to worship a false god of her own creation, has said that only man has written the Bible. It's not true. It is not true. My friends, while these women are yelling and screaming and being emotional, let me try to explain something to you. When you write a letter, who writes the letter? You or the pen? You or the pencil? You do. You write it. You're the author. The pen and the pencil is merely the instrument in the writer's hand. My friend, God, the creator of the universe, who created you and me, is more than able to inspire 40 authors over 1,500 years spanning three continents and many ways of life, he is more than able to inspire them using their unique personalities to pen his word. God's word is true. Have you ever believed anything you read?
Who wrote your Bible?
God is the author of his word.
Hebrew?
Yes. And Greek.
Is that English?
It is English. It's a translation.
Who wrote it?
What do you mean, who wrote it?
Who typed it?
People typed it.
Who?
People.
Who are these people? Where'd it come from? How come all these Bibles have different words, but they're all Christian Bibles?
Show me where they're different.
Oh my.
Show me where the. All right.
If I get a King James.
Once again,
if I get a different word,
not only is this woman a hater of God, but she is a blasphemer as well.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. What a fool. What a foolish woman this is. My friends, when you die and stand before God, you will not be arguing a case. You will not be making a defense. It will be a day of sentencing. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And if you say there is no God, you are a fool. Not according to my opinion, but according to the God of the Word. And don't let these foolish women who deny God and who hate God deceive you. My friends, you know what the truth is. God has already written that on your heart. Do you think these women who would argue and scream against God, do you think they have any care whatsoever for your soul? They don't. They don't care if you perish in your sin, because they don't care if they perish in their sin. My friends, you need to understand that the message I'm sharing with you is a message of love. It is a message of love. If you were walking toward a 500-foot cliff, and I knew it, but you did not, and I stood by and said, I'm going to just let them believe what they want to believe. I'm not going to judge them and tell them to turn around. I certainly don't want to upset them in any way. Que sera, sera. And I watch you fall over that 500-foot cliff. Have I loved you? Was that loving? To let you die in your ignorance? Was that loving? The loving thing would be to grab you by the arm, whether I know you or not, and say, hey, you're about to fall and die. Turn around. And that's what I'm doing today. No, these women don't care if you die and go to hell, but I do. I don't care what you think about me. That's why I'm here. I don't care what you think about me. I care where you spend eternity. And I don't want you to perish in your sin. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't judge you and send you to hell. I can't save you and send you to heaven. I'm but a man. But I know the one who can. And the Spirit of God testifies to my spirit that his word is truth. And what he has commanded of all of us, me first, is to turn from our sin and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. That is a message of love. And any Christian who refuses to share that message with you, not only is not a Christian, but they hate you. They do not care about you. Too many churches, too many people that claim to know Jesus and claim to love God huddle up in their little stucco structure and appease themselves while they do nothing about the world that's dying and going to hell. And that is an atrocious sin against God. So if someone tells you they're a Christian, but they won't tell you about hell, judgment, and the wrath to come, they won't share the cross of Christ, they won't dare say to you that Jesus is the only way, know two things. They are not a Christian, and they don't care about you. Well, I do care about you. Whether you believe it or not, it's irrelevant. I do care about you. And I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to have the gift that only Jesus Christ can give. And that is the gift of eternal life. And there is only one way, my friends, and that is turning from your sin and putting your trust in Christ alone for your salvation. And if God causes you to be born again, literally causes you to be reborn from above, He will give you a new heart with new desires. You will begin to love the things that God loves, and you will begin to hate the things that God hates. And you will not take for granted His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. You will not look at sin as if you've got a get-out-of-hell-free card because you prayed some prayer and wrote a date down in your Bible. No, you would seek to live a righteous life, not because it earns you heaven, but because you're so thankful for the grace that God has given you. And you won't create false Jesuses in your mind like these two ladies over here. And out of love for God and love for people, you will go speak the truth to them. And sometimes the truth is harsh. And sometimes love is harsh. If my child is running in the middle of the street to get a ball and there's a car coming, I'm not going to say, "Oh, Susie, please turn around. I don't want you to get hit." I'm going to say, "Susie, turn around." Because I love Susie. And I don't want her to die. And consider my motives. I'm not like some TV preacher asking for your money to assure your way into God. I'm not some Catholic priest asking for indulgences to fill the coffer, to let your religious relatives out of purgatory just to make the church rich. I'm risking looking like a fool to you, because the message I have to bring to you is far more important than who I am. And the Jesus Christ that I represent is far more important than who I am. And I know I'm going to heaven. But it's not on the basis of deeds that I have done in righteousness. It's based on the mercy of God. I'm not going to heaven because of who I am. I'm going to heaven in spite of who I am. I don't deserve it. I can never earn it. It's entirely by the sovereign and loving grace of Almighty God. He doesn't save those who deserve to be saved, because there are none. He saves those who do not deserve to be saved, because not only is He holy and righteous and just, but He's also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And that's the God I present to you today. A God of love. A God so loving that He would be willing to take on the form of human flesh and allow His own creation to kill Him in the most humiliating way on a cross. And then rise from the dead to defeat sin and death. Jesus said, "Greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends." But Jesus not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. And that's why the Bible says over and over again, love your enemies. And these two women down here are enemies of God, but I love them. I don't want them to perish in their sin. I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to be saved. But she is so angry with God, she is such a hater of God, she doesn't hear the message of love. She just wants to hate. But I love her and I want her to go to heaven. I want her to repent and receive the grace of God. But until she humbles herself before God, that will not happen. Because the Word of God says that He is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So I beg of you, from one beggar trying to help other people find bread, from one thirsty man trying to help other people find something to drink, I beg of you, come to your senses. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. Now, if you have reasonable questions, we would love to talk to you. If you want to rant like these ladies, We have no interest because we can't argue anybody into heaven. We have Bibles that we would like to give you. We're not afraid to invite you to church, but we're not going to sign you up for anything, and we certainly don't want your money. But if you... One moment, son. But if you claim to be open-minded, as much of the world that denies Christ does, but yet you refuse to open the Bible, you have to understand that you are a hypocrite. If you claim to be open-minded, but you won't open the book to see if these things are true, you're lying to yourself. So don't do that. Don't harden your heart. Yes, sir. My name's Tony, by the way.
My name is Tony.
Halim?
Ali.
Ali.
Yeah.
Ali. Nice to meet you, Ali.
Well, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Are you Muslim?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right.
So, I believe that He will come back to this earth and save the people who need to be saved. But where does it say that He is God?
No, I'm not going to shut up. I care too much about you to shut up, young lady. Please don't do a mock walk, do the cowardly thing and turn and run away. If you have something to say, engage. Engage in conversation. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to bite you or anything. Ali, will you please stop being so intolerant by calling me a jerk? You're so intolerant. I'm not going to shut up, sir. I care too much about you to shut up. All right. Ali here, practices the Muslim faith, and he asked me a very legitimate question. He says, where in the Bible does Jesus claim to be God?
No.
Correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Okay, I'm going to turn, I'm not going to just go by memory. I want you to see me opening the Bible and reading from it. I'm turning to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 in the Word of God. Listen carefully. This is what Jesus said. Please don't interrupt. I'm having a conversation with Ali. You are going to interrupt.
I love you too. Give me a hand.
And what is your name?
Hi, my name is Sharika.
Sharika, nice to meet you, Sharika.
I just don't like that you put down people. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're misunderstanding what I'm doing.
It's okay.
You're misunderstanding.
It's okay, but don't put people down.
You're misunderstanding. I hope you'll repent and believe and believe the gospel.
Some people are Buddhist. Some people are going to be Jewish. Jesus was a Jew, right?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so let people be...
But being Jewish won't save you.
Being
Muslim or Buddhist won't save you.
Okay, but they believe that.
So I should just let them go in their false belief.
They believe it.
But that, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your name again?
You're a raised Christian.
No, I wasn't, ma'am. I was raised Roman Catholic. I didn't come to faith in Christ until I was 23.
Okay,
what's your first name again? I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Sharika.
Yes. Sharika, let me ask you one. Are you getting on the bus?
That doesn't mean I'm wrong, yes.
Okay, just one question I want to leave you with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's more important, what we believe or whether or not what we believe is true?
How do you know if you believe it?
Sharika,
exactly.
I didn't say that. I asked the question. Hang tight. Hank, I'll answer your question. Okay, chill on then, buddy. Sharika, what's...
Hey, he's been at it, okay?
Sharika, you're going to get on the bus. I want you to honestly answer the question.
Yeah.
Not with a question. I simply want an answer to the question, okay? There's no tricks in it. What is more important, what we believe or whether or not what we believe is true? Simple question, no tricks.
Hey, I don't have no tricks because I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
If you believe something, it's already
But Sharika, you're setting... No, he's Muslim. Sharika, you're setting a standard based on knowledge you don't have.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I'm going to answer the question.
Use your knowledge in a better way.
No, there's no better way than proclaiming the gospel to lost and dying people. Oh, now Sharika, now you're going to talk dirty. Your mother wouldn't like that.
My mom says...
No, well, she should have raised you better, Sharika. She should have raised you better. All right, the question I asked Sharika... Boy, you just can't go away. Your conscience is so prick. Your conscience is so...
No.
I believe... We're allowed to believe. No. We're allowed to believe. Wait a minute. You're judging me.
You said my mother
should have raised you
better.
Yes, I believe with all my heart that parents should not raise their children to cuss. Yes, I believe that. And in a tolerant world... It would be, well, you said your mom cussed all the time.
No, I didn't say that. I said she said before. A common word. It's been said.
It's commonly disgusting.
Oh, well, your face is disgusting.
Oh.
Now,
Sharika's asking me not to be judgmental while Sharika says my face is disgusting. Do you see the hypocrisy in Sharika? Sharika says, don't judge you with the ugly face. Do you hear that? Do you hear the hypocrisy of her standard? Sharika's good, but if you disagree with Sharika, you're bad. But Sharika claims to be a tolerant person. Now, Ali, we're going to get back to the question because it's very important. But Sharika wanted to interrupt, and I didn't want to let her go. So, all right. I asked Sharika the question, what is more important, what we believe, or whether or not... Sharika's still going. What we believe, or whether or not what we believe is true. The answer, the correct answer, is whether or not what we believe is true. Now, Ali is a young man who practices the Muslim faith. If I said to you, I believe that Ali is a young lady who practices the Christian faith, would it be true?
Can you turn it up a little bit louder? I can't hear you.
Oh, that was like kind of like a joke, huh? Okay. That was really good. Did you work all night on that one? That was excellent. Come on, it was a joke. Give him a hand. Come on. Come on. He's having fun. Let him have fun.
I'm not being judgmental, though.
Well, I appreciate that. Would it matter if I believed that Ali was a young lady who was a Christian? It wouldn't matter at all. What matters is what is true. What's true is Ali is a young man who practices the Muslim faith. It doesn't matter what I believe about Ali. What matters is what's true about Ali. And the same is true with God. It doesn't matter what we believe about God. What matters is what's true about God. Okay? Now, we can argue about what's true about God. People have differing opinions. But to say that that what we believe is based on our feelings is completely subjective. And there is only one truth, my friends. God. God is truth. His word is truth. Is it so because I declare it? No. It is so because God has declared it, and God cannot lie. And I think Ali would agree that God cannot lie. Right? Okay. Let me ask you one more question before I turn to John 8. Can a good prophet lie?
Prophets have sinned before, but
did Muhammad lie?
I don't know if Muhammad lied.
Okay. But should a good prophet lie? Should a good prophet speaking in the name of God mislead people? Is he truly a prophet of God if he misleads people, if he prophesies falsely? Because the Word of God says that a false prophet should be taken out back and stoned to death. That's what the Old Testament says. That's what the Word of God says. If any man is a false prophet, even once, he does not represent God, and he should be stoned to death. Right? What does the Islamic faith think about false prophets?
The same way as the Old Testament says.
That they should be killed?
Yes.
Because they're misrepresenting God?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Please keep that in mind. No tricks. I had a good idea that's what Ali believed. I'm certainly not as studied on the Muslim faith as Ali, and I wouldn't even claim to be. Okay? But Ali said something very, very important. A false prophet does not represent God. And a false prophet, according to Islamic law, according to Old Testament law, should be killed for misrepresenting God. Now, I am not for a second suggesting that that should happen today. Not at all. The Christian operates believing in the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we recognize that there's only one judge, there's only one lawgiver and judge, there's only one who's able to save and destroy, and that is God. We are not Him. We obey the laws of the land. Romans 13 instructs us to obey the laws of the land up until the point those laws try to force us to disobey Christ. Okay? The law of the land is no one will take judgment and justice upon themselves and go out and kill another person because they think someone has done something wrong. We have laws. We have a legal society based on laws. And unless those laws tell us to do something that Christ would not tell us to do, we are to obey the laws of the land. Okay? So I want to make it clear, while I'm referencing killing false prophets in the Old Testament, I'm not suggesting that anybody should go out there and kill false prophets. Okay? Alright. So back to Ali's question. You've been very patient, and I appreciate that. Ali's question, again, if you just walked up, Ali's question is, where in the Bible does Jesus claim to be God? Okay? There are several examples, but I'm only going to refer to one, and that is in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. Beginning in verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Okay? Now, we're talking about intolerance here. We're talking about being judgmental here. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jewish community of the day, hurled two horrific insults at Jesus. They accused him of being a Samaritan, and the Jews looked at Samaritans as what we refer to today as half-breeds, which is a derogatory term, and they looked at the Samaritans as dogs. In fact, the Jews would walk miles out of their way to avoid making themselves unclean by walking through Samaria. Alright? The Jews hated the Samaritans. And they called him demon-possessed. Which is saying that everything that Jesus said and did was a tool of Satan. And that he was not from God. You cannot insult a Jewish rabbi more than that. Alright? So that's how the Jewish leaders started the conversation, okay? Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." Let me stop there for a moment. Jesus, according to Jewish law, just said something that was worthy of death. He equated himself with God at that moment. It was subtle, but he did. Because he claimed to be the Son of God the Father, which in the mind of the Jewish leaders of that day was the same as saying, "I am God, because I am one with my Father." In fact, later in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," and they picked up stones to kill him. He wasn't saying, "I'm like the Father." He wasn't saying, "I'm related to the Father." He wasn't saying, "I believe and I follow the Father." He was saying, "I and the Father are one. As the Father is, so am I. As I am, so is the Father." That's what he was saying. And that's why they wanted to kill him. But in this passage, Jesus continues. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him, I know him. I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father," listen to this, this is hugely important, "your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham, who had died hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this scene, according to Jesus, longed for his day. Longed for his day. long to worship and glorify Him. Who deserves glory? Who deserves worship? God and God alone. To worship anyone or anything other than the one true God is to commit the worst of sins, to blaspheme His holy name. But yet, Jesus is saying that Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, longed for the day of Jesus. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Listen carefully. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why did they pick up stones? Because in their mind, Jesus, who the Muslims believe is a good prophet, blasphemed God. How did he do that? Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was saying. Because not only did the Jewish people love and even worship Abraham, but they likewise loved and worshiped Moses. And they knew better than anyone the life of Moses. And many of you, if you've ever watched a Ten Commandments movie or anything like that, you're even if you don't read the Bible, you're likely familiar of the story of the burning bush. When Moses was up on the mountain, he came across a burning bush, a voice, the voice of God spoke to him from the burning bush. In fact, commanded him to take off his shoes, take off his sandals, because he was standing on holy ground. Moses and God had an exchange. Moses had commanded him to go, to return to Egypt. He was going to be the instrument of God to set his people free. Moses wasn't up to the challenge. Moses claimed to be a man who was not well-spoken. He was fearful. He really didn't want to go. And God rebuked him for that at that scene. Came to the point where Moses said, "Okay, I will go." Then he had a question. "Who shall I say sent me?" What, Ali?
God, I am.
I am. God's answer was, "I am that I am. Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am." And what Jesus declared in John chapter 8 before the religious Jewish leaders of the day in words that they would perfectly understand, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He not only claimed to be existing before Abraham, speaking of his eternality, which is an attribute of God, he took on in that sentence before those Jewish leaders who would know exactly what he's talking about, he took on the name of God. He didn't say before Abraham I was. He didn't say before Abraham I lived. He didn't say before Abraham I existed too. They wouldn't have picked up stones to kill him for that. They would have thought he was nuts, as they do here. But they wouldn't have picked up stones to kill him. They picked up stones to kill him because Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, knowing the thoughts of men, knew exactly what to say to them to identify who he was and who he is. The great I am. And what was their immediate response? "Ah, you're crazy. We're not going to listen to you." It was to pick up stones to kill him because he claimed to be God. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Any other questions?
Not many other questions. Do you have a Bible handy? I've always wanted to read it.
Absolutely, Ali. Absolutely. Please, take one. Now, Ali, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. Because I am not as understanding of the Muslim faith, obviously, as you are.
Yes.
How is a Muslim... Well, first let me back up. I want to. I forgot to mention something before I read to you that passage from John 8.
Yeah.
I asked you if a good prophet can lie.
Yeah.
And what should happen to a false prophet?
That they should.
Okay. The Muslims believe that Jesus is a good prophet.
Yes.
Nowhere in Islamic writing is the death of Jesus called for.
Nowhere,
as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, nowhere in Muslim writing is Jesus ever referred to as a false prophet.
Nowhere is he referred to as a false prophet. Nowhere is it stated that he died. That's where
I understand that many Muslims, maybe not all, but many Muslims believe that it was actually Judas Iscariot who died on the cross and not Jesus.
Yeah.
Not all, but some do, right? Okay.
I would say majority.
Oh, the majority do. Okay.
Majority do, and we believe that he ascended to heaven.
Okay.
And he's going to come back.
Okay.
On the day of judgment.
Right. So my question for you then is Jesus, who claimed to be God, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, who said in John 10, I and the Father are one, is he lying? Is he lying?
I don't want to put words in my mouth, and I don't want to decide that, but I will...
Does it give you a moment to pause?
It does give me a moment to pause.
Excellent. And I am so thankful that you're willing to open that and read it.
Yeah. Likewise, I'd like it if you read the Holy Quran as well.
I have read portions, but I want to know more about what people believe as well. But Ali?
Yes.
Because I care about you as a human being.
I care about you too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
To talk to you as well.
Ali, unless you turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, who does not lie, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. And when we all die and stand before God, Ali, it is either going to be our blood that is shed in judgment for our sins against Him, or it's going to be the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin, and through which we can be granted forgiveness for our sin. And my hope and my prayer for you, Ali, because I care about you, is that you will come to understand that truth, that God, by His grace and His mercy, would allow you to understand that truth, and that you would turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ alone for your salvation and be saved. I really appreciate you talking to me.
Is this the full version?
It's the New Testament.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you have a full Bible with you by chance?
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And keep the New Testament as well.
Yeah.
And, you know what? Let me give you one of my cards.
Yeah.
I would love to continue talking with you. If you have any other questions.
Yeah.
And just know I'm praying for you.
Me too.
And I'm very thankful to God that we got to talk today.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Ali. God bless you.
What's your name again?
My name is Tony.
Yeah.